please sit down. Before we start, it's set out for a seminar. I'm wondering whether we should have answers to questions afterwards. I'll tell you what, I'll come down for about 2 minutes. If you have any questions while I'm preaching, write them down. And if there are questions, the elders will deal with them. All right, we'll talk about it. Can we look at Ephesians 1 again, just verses 22 and 23? And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If there's one sentence that's always amazed me, well, it's a phrase more than a sentence, it's that one, 23. The church is the fullness of him who fills everything. Do you realize what that's saying? The church completes Jesus. Jesus is not complete unless he has the church. Can we just pray over that passage, please? Lord, I pray that you bless the word tonight. And indeed, Lord, edify us, because we truly do need to hear your word. And I pray it's communicated well and to your glory tonight. Amen. Well, in the light of what I preached this morning, I'd like to bring an essential application tonight. Tonight's question is in direct response to what I preached this morning. The question is this: can a person be a true Christian if they're not really interested in church? Can you be a Christian and not go to church? Now, before I answer that question, let me make it a little bit clearer. There are people, truly born again Christians, who are not able to attend church fellowship. We just prayed for Christians in persecuted countries. They can't go to church. There are people invalid and in hospital. There are people in prisons, and they are Christian, but they're not able to go to church. They could if they were able, but they're not able to go. These people have no church connection, but obviously they are Christians. There are some people that can't be part of a church, and God in supernatural ways takes care of such people. But here's the question tonight: can a person be a genuine Christian, truly born again of the Holy Spirit, and yet have no desire, no inclination for fellowship with other believers? You get the question. Can you be a Christian and not be part of the church? Now, I'm going to give you a resounding answer to that. No. It's impossible to be a Christian, a true Christian, if you don't want the church. And that might surprise some of you, but I intend to prove that to you tonight. And I'm sure that after you've heard what I'm going to share with you, you'll have to agree with me, if you really believe the Bible, that to be a Christian is to be essentially connected to the church. You can't separate them. And I've got two clear biblical reasons why this is so. My first reason is going to be because of what the church actually is. I'm going to tell you what the church is. And then secondly, I'm going to show you who God is. And because of who God is, why church is essential. And I'm convinced that if you're a Christian tonight, you will have no excuse after this to claim that you believe in Lone Ranger Christians or do-it-yourself believers. After you have considered what I'm going to share with you, and I'm so convinced it's convincing, then you'll have to agree with me. You can't be a true Christian unless you're part of the church. As I said, if you're somewhere in Iran or somewhere like that and you're underground, it's very different. God takes care of isolated Christians. But in the context like this, if you don't want to come to church, you don't want Christ. And I'm going to prove that to you tonight. Let's think about this. We're clearly told in our text that the church, in a very real sense, is the body of Christ. He soma Christu. We're told that Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. There is, therefore, an organic bond between Christ and the church. Obviously, it must mean that Christ and the church are inseparable. You can't have a head without a body and the creature still be alive, can you? You can't have a body without a head. Head and body are bound organically into one. And that's clearly implied in the words used in the Bible. But it gets much deeper than that. Do you know there's only one Holy Spirit? Remember Ephesians 4, one Spirit. And the Spirit that is in Christ right now in heaven is in the church down here on earth. There are two distinct beings, the church down here, and Christ up in heaven, but they are bound together by the one same Spirit. The Spirit is in Christ in heaven and on the church below. Also think about this. In heaven right now, Christ is standing before the Father on our behalf. He's our advocate, our representative in heaven. God the Father looks at Christ in heaven and he sees the church. The church is in heaven in Christ. Would you agree? We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. But get this, because the Spirit is in us, the same Spirit that's in Christ, Christ is on earth in the church. Do you see how we're bound together inseparably? He's the head. We are the body. There's a physical union. He has the Spirit with him up in heaven. We have the Spirit with us down on earth. We're bound by the one and the same Spirit. God sees the church in the Son up in heaven, and mankind sees Christ in the church down on earth. We're woven together, Christ and his church. But here's the most amazing one. We read in our text that the fullness of Christ is the church. He's the fullness. He who is the fullness, who fills all in all, has the church, which is his fullness. In other words, the church completes Christ. Christ is not complete unless his church is with him. That's profound, isn't it? You may say, oh, but wait a minute, if that's true, what about before the church existed? How could he have been complete if the church completes him? How could he be complete if that's the case? How? We, the church, have been part of the covenant from before the foundation of the world. We've always, even in decree, existed in the mind of God. And we, the church, complete Christ. Now here's my question. If Christ is incomplete without the church, who do you think you are to think you don't need the church and you can be a Christian? If Christ is only fulfilled when his church, his body is with him and his glory is manifested, who are we to claim, well, I want to believe in God, but I don't need the church? If the church completes Christ, I don't think we can claim that we don't need the church in our lives. The church is essentially united to Christ, organically, spiritually, legally, and he fulfills us, and we fulfill him. So the first argument for why every Christian must belong to the church is Christ must belong to the church. Christ is not Christ without the church. Well, if he's so inseparably bound to the church, we, his creatures, how can we claim we don't need it? But secondly, we're part of the church because of who God is. God is love. He's agape. And unless we find fellowship with the church, we'll have no comprehension of the being of God. You see, God is all about fellowship, koinonia. And unless you know God in agape, fellowship, you cannot comprehend God. What am I talking about? Well, listen, what if I told you God is not a person? God is not a person. God is a triunity of persons. There are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these three persons are bound together in the single Godhead. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, God is not so much an individual person as a great cosmic dance. Whoa. God is, quite literally, fellowship, koinonia. He is an embrace of fellowship of three persons corresponding to one another in union for all eternity. He is an eternal relationship, eternal fellowship. You see, it's only possible to love if you have fellowship. Love is impossible unless there is somebody else apart from yourself to love. Love requires a subject and an object. Now, for all eternity, God has existed in an eternal embrace of love. You're all bright, so you'll get this. This is what the Father, this is how they explained God, the Church Fathers, in 325. They said, the Father eternally begets the Son. He eternally speaks forth in a way we can't imagine the beauty of his Son. He brings him forth from his own being. Speaks him forth, he begets him. And the Son is eternally begotten of the Father. In other words, the Son gladly and lovingly reciprocates the Father speaking forth and reflects it back to him in absolute obedience and submission. There's this giving and taking, Father and Son, from all eternity. And the Spirit spirates around the Father and the Son. And what that means is this. The Spirit is the conscious witness of the giving and the receiving of the Father and the Son. He is the third party of the Trinity who enjoys the giving and the receiving of that love. Now you must say, oh, that sounds very abstract. I'll never get that. Well, even if you don't get it, you do realize from what I've said, God is fellowship. God is eternally and essentially agape. God is love. He is a relationship of three divine persons. We're clearly told in 1 John 4 verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And whoever does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. And church is a sort of echo, a celebration of not merely three eternal persons, but millions, possibly billions of created persons, adopted into the witness of this wonder of God. And that is what church is all about. God wanted that beautiful triune embrace of love to somehow be spread into billions of witnesses. He wanted to multiply it. And that's church. The motive for Christian love, the reason why the church must stand and why we must stand together in love, is because God is love. We echo who God is by coming together. Let me quote you C.S. Lewis again. "To love is to be drawn into the great cosmic dance of the Trinity." Now, in the light of what the church actually is, the body and the head are joined together in Christ. We're bound physically to Christ as body to head. But we also are bound by the Spirit. The Spirit in Him in heaven is the Spirit who's in us on earth. We have the same paraclete indwelling us both, binding us as one. Also, the church is the completion. Christ has deemed He would not fully be Christ without us. We are the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Do you not think church is important? Not only that, but God is interpersonal relationship, fellowship, koinonia. How can anybody truly claim they have any inkling of God unless they're committed to interpersonal relationship with others who share the same spirit with one another as the church shares corporately with Christ? Do you see how essential church is? There was an old Frank Sinatra song. Who's doddering here? Malcolm will know it. Love and marriage. Come on, how's it go? Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother. Remember, you can't have one without the other. Yeah. We are essentially bound to Christ as a church. And the idea of a Christian hermit, you know, the people would go into the desert and live in caves and live in isolation and try and serve God on their own. That's totally unbiblical. God is fellowship. And we celebrate the being of God by gathering ourselves together to somehow manifest eternal being in this mystery of agape. So I don't think you could tell me tonight you don't agree. We've got to have church. But you may have a more honest objection. Sometimes I have this problem. You may say, but it's so hard to mix with people in church sometimes when you don't just get on with them. You know, in the world, if you don't like someone, you just avoid them. But in church, you can't do that, can you? We're all stuck together, all different types of people. And it's a difficulty for some people. How can I love someone that I feel so... How are we all going to get together? Well, part of love is something called self-denial. It was manifested in Christ's communicating Himself to the earth. Sacrifice. If you only have fellowship with people you like, if you only mix with people that give you what you want and what you need, then you're not loving. You're just narcissistically getting pleasure from people that give it to you. That's not Christian fellowship. If you're just mixing with like-minded people, it's a club, not a church. And that's a problem for many people. They don't want to mix with everybody, but you have to be a Christian. Love involves self-denial. Jesus put it this way. He said, what good is it to love those who love you back? Even the tax collectors and the sinners do that. He said, when you love the people that curse you and hate you and despise you. And then you're communicating the love that I've come to share. And when you join the church, that's the love you enter into. Self-denial. In fact, we're told in the scriptures, make every effort to love the brethren. What does that imply? Well, if you have to make an effort, it could be something that doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. But a genuine Christian will make the effort to love the brethren. The reason we meet is not that we all think on the same level, or we all like the same music, or we all like the same cars, or support the same team. It's because the Spirit of God binds us in unity. And as I said this morning, if you don't love the church, you're not doing what the Lord commanded us to do, very clearly in the new commandment. Our Christian identity is, at the end of the day, a collective identity. We're told in the Bible Christ died for his sheep. Paul puts it this way, God paid with his blood for the church, the collective family of God. Do you know, when Christ comes again, he's not coming for Tom and Dick and Harry. He's coming for the church, the corporate body of Christ. It's the church, the corporate body, who is engaged to be married to the bridegroom in eternity. It's our oneness that makes us adorable to God, because our unity is a reflection, a faint reflection, of God's heavenly triune glory. But the problem is, we've all been brought up in a very individualistic age, haven't we? You know, me first society. People often see themselves as individuals before they see themselves as part of a group. You know, we've been educated to look out for number one and believe in ourselves and do it our way. And that's the way our society thinks. And yet God is love. God is, in other words, communal. God is fellowship, interpersonal commitment. Church, therefore, is an essential part of Christian practice. If you're a Christian, you will find yourself drawn to other believers. And sometimes God deliberately makes it hard for you, to test you, to prove your commitment. Imagine if everyone was like you in the church. It would be incredibly boring, for one thing, but imagine if everyone just laughed at your jokes and agreed with everything you said and patted you on the back every time you said a prayer. God has worked it out that this faith has to be tried and tested and proven. But we are practicing true Christianity when we come into a place like this, knowing we can't quite relate to one another perfectly, but we're going to share eternity forever with each other. And we will worship our God by imitating Trinity. So to answer the question I asked at the beginning, can you be a Christian and not go to church? I say, if you're not able to come to church, it's one story. If you're hiding away in a persecuted country, that's another story. But if you're just not inclined to fellowship with church people, you're wrong, wrong, wrong. You can't separate your Jesus from his body. The spirit that's in this church is in Christ in heaven right now, and Christ is completed by his church. Who are we to say we don't need to be completed by the church? Do we need church? When I got married, I didn't only get Melody, I got her family into the bargain. I got mother, father, brothers and sisters. She got a much tougher deal. She got my crazy family. And that's the package deal, you see. When you take a spouse, you get the in-laws. In fact, my wife wouldn't have married me if I didn't want her family. That's the way it works. You want me? Well, you're going to take my family. If you call yourself a Christian, you are committed to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. And sometimes God makes the church difficult to prove the quality of your commitment. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, please just help us to understand this simple message in Jesus' name. Amen.